Here with me I have Seth Meyer, and he's with the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. And Seth, here at this transition to a bioeconomy conference, you were talking about some of the things that would affect trade when it comes to U.S. biofuels policy, some of those contexts that we need to look at and how they have an impact. Can you give me just a summary of what some of those are and then what you see as some of the impacts that are happening?
Well, first, you know, I wanted to present here a bit that, you know, we know that biofuel policies are having some effect on, obviously, commodity prices and our export volumes. You know, we're introducing another use and we're supporting that other use. But I wanted to also make clear in my presentation that, you know, I think the last couple of years really proved that there are a lot of moving parts here, that we've got a lot of other things coming into the marketplace that are also affecting our export volume. We look back at the 07-08 crop year, and we can see we exported more, a larger volume at a much higher price. So, you know, despite the fact that we were using more for biofuels, we're exporting more as well, too. And even this year, we're still using more for biofuels, more corn for ethanol, and our exports have fallen through the floor, and the prices have come down. So, you know, it's important to put these biofuel policy effects in a larger context of foreign demand. But I also wanted to show that these policies have different effects based upon what you assume oil prices are going forward. Or in individual years, you know, fluctuations in yields can have very different effects whether or not these policies are in place or not.
So in other words, it's really hard to predict the future, huh?
Absolutely. A very difficult thing to do. You know, and we can guess certain things. You know, when oil prices are very low, we can guess that, look, the mandates are going to be more binding. Or when we have very, very low yields, we can also say, okay, the mandate's more likely to be binding because corn prices will be higher and this will squeeze ethanol producers more as well, too. I mean, there's some things we can guess and say more likely then. But yes, there's a lot of moving parts within these policies.
Well, and right now with a new administration here in D.C. and, you know, I think a lot of pressure to, quote, do something, you know, to help this financial crisis we're in. And when it comes to energy, and that's a big component of what's people have to spend their hard-earned dollars for. So do you think we're – I can't ask you to predict the future, but this is a time when a lot of – common sense probably needs to rule instead of maybe making some rash policy decisions.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, when you look forward, you've got all these different policy objectives. You know, there's a wide variety of people both supporting and opposed to biofuels for a whole wide variety of reasons. You know, when I look at the marketplace, though, you know, this things are very much in flux, and you know these are policies that have long term effects. These investments aren't single year investments. These are long term investments in the conversion of these feedstocks to biofuels. So, I think that you know, thoughtful assessment of what our priorities are, and then some determination of what our priorities are. I think that there's a lot of policy risk. There's some potentially a lot of policy risk in the marketplace for producers. I mean, they know what rules are. Kind of know what rules are now, and they don't know how the EPA will rule and what policy changes may occur in the future. I think there's a bit of policy risk in the marketplace as well.
So when it comes to, say, a biofuels producer or a farmer, for that matter, growing corn or soybeans out here, anything else you might say to them right now in terms of, you know, what it is they can do, or is there anything they can do in terms of having some influence in what those policies might be? Or,
well, you know, I think they know what better to do. They know what to do better than I can tell them. They're very rational people. When you look forward, you know, farmers are balancing, you know, this look at what they think their net returns will be, you know, when they're evaluating these different crops, but they also want to evaluate risk. You know, so I think so from a farmer's perspective and from a biofuels producer, they want to understand both the expectation of what their profits are going to be, but, you know, what's going to affect those profits or what the role of government programs may be in helping reduce the risk for them. You know, we talked a bit about, you know, there are programs for certain crops, but then we think about second generation crops, and there currently maybe are fewer or no supporting programs for these crops. And, you know, these will be things that the producers will be very concerned with as they move forward and evaluate the net returns and the risk to those net returns of planting different crops, different feedstocks.
In light of the challenges we've seen in the biofuels production business here of late, and how that's even affecting the farmers that are growing the feedstocks. Short term, looking out, do you have any sense of, are we going to see some more stability or I don't want to say growth or, but stability would just be kind of nice, right?
Well, I think what's part of what's going on right now is we're kind of going through this, you know, we've got a little bit of excess capacity. We've got mandates which are rising and which will eventually catch up to whatever capacity is being built now. But, you know, we've got those EPA rules setting out there now as well, too. I mean, besides what maybe is going to be potentially grandfathered in, one has, you know, the future capacity. I think I wouldn't be in a great hurry if I was an investor to think about, you know, filling that next potential 1 or 2 billion gallons worth of capacity, not knowing exactly how the EPA will rule. So I think maybe, you know, the signals would suggest that over the next couple of years, it'll be, you know, until we get rules, the capacity that we've got existing or under construction will be finished off, and that'll grow with the mandate. Unless oil prices rise substantially, and then it's, you know, all bets are off. You know, then we'll see another surge in production and, you know, maybe a building of some additional capacity just based on that.
Well, I think I've heard that uncertainty word from just about everybody who spoke here today. So it's obviously key as we look forward. Well, thank you very much, Seth Meyer with Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, talking here at the Transition to a Bioeconomy Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.